Enjoying the Lord. This is our subject, and this is one known message too. And for the saints hearing this for the first time, my sharing with you is based upon a verse in Acts chapter 6 verse 4. About the Lord's shepherding, the Lord supplying us with the word. They minister the word, meaning words from the Bible. So we go by point. There are 10 points, so obviously I can just stay about 5 minutes on each section, but this can be the opening, and then the indwelling Christ will enlighten us more and more. One, the joy of contentment in all circumstances. One very short statement, but this is an accurate description of many of us at this very moment. Outwardly, we have all kinds of difficulties, but inwardly, there is joy because of the indwelling Christ. As we are growing in life, the Lord may not use his power to remove all kinds of things that make us sad or make us troubled. Rather, he wants us to strengthen our spirit, that when we exercise our spirit, no matter what the outward situation is, deep in us, there is still joy because Christ is always joy. But he applies his joy knowing what we're going through at the same time. Point two. The joy of living the kingdom life. I'll give the verse in a moment underneath. But I would just ask, like I do usually, in a very tender way, at this very moment, do you realize that you are in the kingdom? To be in a genuine church is to be in the kingdom of God. And when the Lord comes back on the earth, the kingdom of God will be all over the earth. So the crucial verse here is Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This verse describes what we are experiencing while we are living in the kingdom. We have the kingdom life. And notice the 3 points: righteousness, peace, Enjoy. When I was in my 40s or so, I appreciated this verse a lot. And then someone in a tender way said, Ron, you just mentioned righteousness and peace. But what about joy? And then my response was not an argument. I said, I don't know what joy is. And that was the beginning of Christ becoming joy. It was my disposition and my background. Only having righteousness and peace. But by being in the Holy Spirit, if you don't do something, it's the dwelling Holy Spirit that brings us concerning righteousness and peace and joy. And I honestly can say at this very moment, the Holy Spirit is giving joy to all of us and to each one of us in the center of our being. Point three, the joy of answered prayer. And I believe many of you have experienced this. You've been praying about a particular matter or a particular situation, or even for a dear saint. But eventually, the prayer is answered. In your being, isn't there joy? Isn't there thankfulness? Isn't there praise? So this verse in John 16:24, dear saints, is very precious. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be made full. We need to ask. Lord is waiting for us to ask. What do you need? What is taking place? What you are seeking? Just ask. Then what will take place on our side? We ask, and you shall receive. Why does the Lord respond in this way? That your joy may be made full. I've mentioned this before. I'm still in the developing stage, like all of us. That our joy may be made full. To be honest with you, I can't explain what full is concerning joy, but I can say on behalf of the Triune God, we are moving closer and closer to the fullness of joy. No matter what our situation is, the Lord is going to lead us to His joy and make it full. Point four, the joy of seeing Christ in resurrection. Well, Let's examine this a little. The joy of seeing Christ. And seeing Christ in resurrection. What is this really telling us? The time is coming when we will see Christ. And he will also see us in the same level. Christ in resurrection. And at this present moment, Christ in resurrection is on the throne, praying at this very moment. And Christ in resurrection is with us, my wife and I here, and all of you there. But what he really wants us to realize, Christ in resurrection is in our spirit. This has to become real. And the verses here, I know there's a length of them, but I want to read them very carefully. And we just go from one level to another. I believe these verses will be enlightening. Truly, truly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she gives birth, has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she brings forth the little child, she no longer remembers the affliction because of the joy that a man has been born into the world. Therefore, you also now have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you. Aren't these precious verses? Don't they do they not explain what many of us have gone through? I want to look at the last few lines, spend a little time here. The joy that a man has been born into the world. And here's the crucial point. Therefore, you also now have sorrow. We all have sorrow. When someone you love passes away, there's sorrow. I've seen this in Brother Lee, when certain saints, having been close to him in the Lord's recovery, left the recovery. There was this suffering for him. He loved all of them the same. They were working together, side by side. So there was sorrow. But sorrow is not the end. But I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and no one takes your joy away from you. This is the direction our Christian life is. The Lord is leading all of us. Right? God wants me to be honest. There's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering between now and the time when we see Christ face to face. But when we are together at that lovely moment, there will be nothing remaining except joy. That's why the Lord wants us to have a thorough understanding of joy and enjoying, because we have three levels. So much is going on in our physical body, in our soul, and in our spirit. But the time will take place more and more as our spirit is becoming the strongest part of our being. The Lord will have the way to bring joy into our heart. And nothing will take this joy away. That's why I repeat again about Brother Nee. With all the suffering, those 20 years in prison, but he continued to say, my joy remains. Nothing took away his joy. Point five, the joy of fruit bearing. And the verse, John 15:11, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. I really love this verse. This was John just with the young ones with him. What a conversation. These things I have spoken to you, that, this is the reason, that my joy may be in you. And at this present moment, the indwelling Christ with his joy wants his joy to be in us. Have you ever considered that before? This is fresh to me. When he said, my joy may be in you. So, Lord, give us the strength that we don't say maybe, but we say your joy is, and that your joy may be made full. Not the full in him, but his joy be full in us. Section 6, the joy of suffering for the Lord's interests. And if you have the time later to read all these verses, we need the full view, the joy of suffering for the Lord's interest. In other words, because we're carrying out God's interests, God's purpose, we have joy in this. But while we are suffering for the Lord's interests, the joy remains. This is amazing. That on one level, we have suffering. But on another level, the joy remains. Because joy is not a thing. Joy is a person. And the person is the all-inclusive Christ making his home in our heart. So he not only has joy, he is the joy. And no matter what is taking place on another level, the joy is still there. But some may be wondering at this very moment, how can this be? Well, when something that is painful or something that breaks our hearts on a human level, this is the main feeling we have at this moment. It's a normal thing. At 3 a.m. in the morning, I've been staying with a brother and his wife and a few others because their little boy, 12 years old, was lost somewhere. And I remember hearing about the situation. I went to the place where he was trying to send papers, newspapers. And then it turned out he went to a certain room. And we don't know how this happened, but he killed him. And then in a secret way, he took him away and buried somewhere else. And he said that he didn't do anything, he didn't know anything. And so Brother Lee was contacting me saying, keep me up to knowing what is happening. So I stayed with him hour after hour, wide awake. And there was one man working for the government during the nighttime. Then he got a call. And I could tell on his face what he was told. And then he had to say, they found your son, and he has passed away. How can there be any joy? How can there be any joy the next day? We're human beings. But I was there on one level after another. And eventually, I was there at the burial time. And I was asked to give a little word. And I just said, this young one, he passed away. And he's been buried in this place. But the time is coming when he will be resurrected. You will see him again. And then then there was an indication. This is just a little bit of sense of joy. Even though he was put to death and he is separated from us, there's a deep feeling in faith. We will see him again, and the joy will conquer anything else. So joy is not a shallow thing beyond words. Then the verses under this, Luke 6:23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their father did to the prophets. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't it be wonderful if someone could say, or had some fellowship with this one, and I realized he or she was filled with joy. I believe the time will come when we will meet one another, and it won't be sorrow, it won't be pain, it will be joy upon joy upon joy. Even knowing you've gone through so many things, but joy reigns. Then Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Hebrews 10:34. For you both sympathized with those in bonds and accepted with joy the plundering of your possessions, knowing that you yourselves have a better possession and one that abides. Now, point seven, the joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. It's unspeakable. It's beyond words. We can't explain it. We can't describe it. But here we have joy and glory together. And that will be the outline. That will be the situation when the Lord comes for his bride, the mature saints. And joy and glory will be simultaneously. The joy is unspeakable, but it's full of glory. And then under this is 1 Peter 1:8. Whom having not seen, you love, into whom, though not seeing him at present, yet believing, you exult with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. This was Peter. If we know Peter from the beginning, then if we know Peter in Acts, and then at the end, we know Peter at the end of his time. This verse is very precious. I want to read it again and pay attention to it. Whom having not seen, you love. But you don't see the Lord right now. But we love him at this very moment. On behalf of all of us, I would say, Lord, we love you. And we love you because you first loved us. Into whom, though not seeing him at present, we don't see now, but the time is coming when we will. Yet we're still believing. And the result of this kind of believing is we exult with joy. It's almost like something, I wouldn't say explodes, but it just comes out. It's not just I have joy within me. I can't hold it in. I have to express it. Lord, I'm full of joy. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Triune God, your joy itself. At the present, and this is why we'll have messages 3 and 4. What it means, well, we see when you come to this on praising the Lord. We will exult with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. Well, on making points on this verse. Inwardly, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, fill us all with glory. Exalt our joy. Develop our joy. No matter what our disposition is, no matter what we've gone through this last length of time. We're here, not just in ourself, in our exercise spirit. And now with us there is joy and glory. Point 8. The joy set before him. Before I try to say anything, let's carefully read this verse and examine it in relation to the joy set before him. In other words, the joy is not presently here. And he was going set before him. He knew he was going through the cross. And only God the Father knows the pain that his son had on the cross. The Father and the Son know. But the Lord was telling the believers, I will pass through that. Because there is joy set before him. I'm going in this direction. I know I'll be on the cross, but I see something beyond that, and that is joy. And I believe at least some of us, we realize, let's just say someone very close to you that is acute and they can't be, they're seriously sick. And then the doctor has to say, there's nothing we can do. He will pass away soon. And just knowing that is painful. And then being there at the moment when it took place. But then something surprising to us, I realize. You have passed away, but I will see you again when we both have been resurrected. So this was the Lord's view. Therefore, let us also, having so great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, but away every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangled us, and run with endurance the race which is set before us, looking away unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. I want to spend some time on this middle part and through the end. Run with endurance the race which is set before us. This may sound strange for many of you, but from God's point of view, we also have a journey. And the Lord's desire is that we would reach the end of our journey as we're running the race, spiritually speaking. But then we have this word run with endurance. Several weeks ago in the Wednesday night ministry meeting, I gave a message where about the second half of the message was on endurance. And I just made a list. I don't remember the number more than 20 verses. Endurance, endurance, endurance. You read Revelation, chapter 1, 9 through 11. I am with you, endurance. And it's an endurance while you're running the race, spiritually speaking. I've been in the Lord's recovery 60 years, since 1966. I was born again in 1955. I'm still running the race. And the race has been set before us. Then, when we realize we're on this endurance, looking away, this is crucial. Looking at what? Ourself? Our failures? Are we looking at other people inwardly, criticizing them in your thoughts? But looking away in our daily living, this is something we all need to learn. What do we gaze at? What are we looking at, humanly speaking? Exercise our spirit. Looking away, but looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith, the perfecter of our faith. This indicates Christ is trying to strengthen our faith, to make our faith mature in every way. Who for the joy set before him? Joy set before him. My new brother, one brother, especially from Texas, a few years ago, he just about 82. He was at the end of his journey, but in his being was joy beyond words. When he's resurrected and see him again, there will be joy beyond words. The joy is set before him. And what was the joy set before him on the cross? That he would have a large number of believers. I'm dying for their salvation and opening the way for them to be born again. And they'll be part of my bride. And we will love each other eternally. So he realized something was beyond the cross. The cross was not the end. It was the end of all kinds of evil things. He was despising the shame, but then has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Right now, he's on the throne of God. In Revelation chapter 3, there's a verse that says the overcoming saints will be with the Lord on the throne of God. This will be the outcome for the 1,000 years. To be a rogue, to be a co-king. Point nine. Entering into the joy of the Lord in the kingdom. I don't think any of us can explain. At this point, the joy in the kingdom. But the overcoming saints. I don't say overcomers. There are no overcomers. No, there's a few emails years ago saying, I am an overcomer. But I didn't say anything, just let it be. But the indwelling Christ is makes us an overcoming function. And then we realize what we're going through is leading us into the kingdom. And during those 1,000 years, there would just be joy beyond explanation. I hope that saints in the Lord's recovery are really personally concerned about this. And just pause here for a moment. Many, many saints that I know around in California, they're very active in all the practical things. They come to the Lord's table meeting and sing hymn, one hymn after another. In what's called the prophesying meeting, they say all kinds of things. But you can make it clear, do they have a personal relationship with the Lord day after day? And then the Lord has the way to enlighten us. And then, if you would honestly answer to say, Lord, where am I in the growth of life? I wonder how many saints, even all you dear ones, that I can see you, how many of you have a clear view of what level of life you are in? And just for a moment, for the elder ones, including me, what is in my heart for you is that you've gone through the third stage of life thoroughly. Now you're in the fourth stage in that book about it. You're in the fourth stage. You're living in the reality of the body. And when you're in the fourth stage and you see any saint, you will know almost immediately where they are in the growth of life. And then your response is to shepherd them with loving care. You don't criticize anyone. But my heart has ached one time after time with brothers and sisters that were outwardly functioning in the church life, but they did not grow in life while on the earth. This one brother that I've known for 60 years, even we were in college together, when he realized I came into the Lord's recovery, he came in a certain way. But we need to have this kind of endurance. And I just hope that in your personal relationship with the Lord, He will show you where you are in the growth of life. And on behalf of Him, I would say He's doing this to encourage you. No matter where you are, I'm letting you know where you are. And then I will take the lead through all of the aspects of the third stage to the fourth stage. I will make you mature before the end. This is what's on the Lord's heart. This is what's on my heart. We will grow to maturity. So that we can, when we meet Him, He will say, "Well done. Reign with me for 1,000 years. Okay, point nine. Entering into the joy of the Lord in the kingdom. Did I do this? I like it so much, I forgot that I did it, and then I wanted to do it again, but someone right next to me helped me sit. We're down to 10. Okay. The eternal enjoyment in the New Jerusalem. Here again, I need to pause because there may be a number of saints may not know what is the New Jerusalem. So I just ask, what is your understanding of the New Jerusalem? Is it a place? Is it a city? I'm sorry to say that religious people, genuine Christians, may say that's just being in heaven. But just read Revelation Chapter 21, verse 2. The verse says about the New Jerusalem coming down as my bride. Then verses 10 and 11, the same thing. New Jerusalem is a corporate person. Eternal enjoyment in the New Jerusalem. One aspect of the overcoming saints, when they meet with the Lord at the judgment seat, and the Lord says, "Well done, reign with me in the New Jerusalem." They will have internal enjoyment beginning in their being. Now, as I'm closing my portion of this message, I want to spend my remaining time, which is about 5 or 7 minutes, and Revelation 22. The eternal enjoyment in the New Jerusalem. Chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. And he showed me a river of water of life, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the proceeding out of the throne. What means in the middle? No, in the middle of the street. And on this side and on that side of the river was the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Now remember, when you start reading Revelation, it says these are pictures. So he showed me a river of water of life. We're not talking about physical water. Right now, the river of water of life is flowing as crystal. It's proceeding out of the throne of God. At this present moment, something is flowing out from the throne of God. In our daily living, and also of the Lamb in the middle of the street, and on this side and on that side of the river was the tree of life. Now I pause here in a tender way to ask, by which tree do you live by? There are two trees, spiritually speaking. One is the tree that says you do right or wrong. And you have the feeling, I was right, they were wrong. I just try my best to be right and not to be wrong. But there is no divine life there. But the other tree is the tree of life, producing 12 fruits, yielding its fruit each month. So this is describing our daily living. Please realize we are living under the throne. And from the throne, the living of water is flowing into our being. This should just be part of our daily living. This is why I mentioned this again and again, and I'm doing it again. We need to experience that verse in Hebrews chapter 4, the separation of our spirit and our soul. If that takes place, then we are in two realms at the same time. In our human living, in the practical things we have to do, is on one level with our soul. But simultaneously, at the same time, in our spirit, we're in another realm. That's why in Matthew chapter 24, Two men were in the field. One was taken, the other was left behind. Two women were grinding. One was taken, one was not. They were both believers. But one of the brothers and one of the sisters, they had experienced the separation of spirit and soul. So while they're living in a normal way, simultaneously in their spirit, they're in another realm. And when the Lord comes to rapture overcoming saints, we don't know in the New Testament how he will indicate. Surely it will be something inward at the very moment. Come. And this is actually going to happen all over the earth. Overcoming saints, living in two stages at the same time. It brought to the point of being rapture ready saints. And so I'm living a normal human life, but at the same time, I'm living in the kingdom inwardly. And when the Lord indicates, come, then this will actually take place. I believe in the near future, saints will wake up and wonder, where is Sister so-and-so? Where is the other one? Because they've just been, they realize we're in the seventh year. And the vast majority of saints will not be raptured until the end of the 7 years. But after the first 3.5 years, the overcoming saints will be raptured. And there will be a spiritual war in the heavens of the highest angels from God fighting against Satan. And he will be defeated. And he and his followers will be on the earth. Dear saints, I do not want to be on the earth when Satan's on the earth. When he's on the earth, I want to be with the overcoming saints at the throne, coming as his bride to the earth. Then 4 and 5, and then an ending point. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more, and they have no need of the light of a lamp and of a light of the sun. For the Lord God will shine upon them, and they will reign forever and ever. And then an extra point to end my portion. Colossians 1:11. Being empowered with all power, according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long suffering with joy. There's suffering, there's joy, but there's power, and there's glory, and there's endurance, and there's long suffering. But It's with joy. This is the end of my portion of message 2.